If the world seems to be ever more chaotic, you are not imagining it. Getting your financial affairs in order is essential. That is what a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap will do for you. Combining lifetime income with Stanford University recommended RIGs and tactical portfolio strategies to help you address inflation, we can help you weather this instability. Go to csrp.info for an appointment. And remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA/SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. Let's dive right into the most insane things this week. Insane thing number six. What Democrat vice presidential candidate Tim Walz says is the thing that scares him the most. I was sitting with the kids on the couch watching the debate, and I busted out laughing when he said this. The only problem is he wasn't joking.
Now, the thing I'm most concerned about is the idea that imprisoning your political opponents.
He meant as in Trump imprisoning his political opponents. You know that guy, Trump, the one with so many charges brought against him by Democrats. He was facing at one point earlier this year over 700 years in prison. If that's what worries him the most, perhaps he should join the Republican Party. Democrats who say stuff like this fascinate me. Don't they fascinate you? Is he literally this self-unaware? Or is he gaslighting us? Mocking us even? I can't figure it out. Or, I don't know, maybe this was the most insane thing from that debate. Tim Walz, who spent 20 years telling everyone who would listen, including members of his own party who repeated it, that he had served in a war zone, then later said he misremembered. As if you wouldn't remember going to war? This dude is weird. I mean, even weirder than the usual Democrat. Anyway, he also claimed that he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square protest. He was actually confronted about that during the debate and called himself a knucklehead for misremembering that one, too.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17, worked on family farms, and then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher, passionate about it, a young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China, 35 years ago, be able to do that. I came back home and then started a program to take young people there. We would take basketball teams, we would take baseball teams, we would take dancers, and we would go back and forth to China. The issue for that was to try and learn. Now, look, my community knows who I am. They saw where I was at. Look, I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect. And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been about that.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
Just, all I said on this was, I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests, went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
He's clearly every bit as much of a compulsive liar as Joe Biden is. He doesn't need higher office. He needs a really good shrink. Insane thing number five. We're in that window before every election where the political parties announce, hey, you know, if we're elected, if we get a mandate, you give us enough votes, this is what we'll do. Well, this is the first time in U.S. history a major party, or at least a significant number of its leaders, have ever announced, you give us a mandate, we'll finish off the First Amendment. It was apparently John Kerry's turn this week. Hillary went last week. But this is what they think. This is how they talk inside the Democrat Party now. They genuinely believe that they, and only they, should have a mandate to control speech and tell everybody what to say, and apparently to listen to John Kerry, even what to read.
But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick, you know, has an agenda, and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change. Now, obviously, there are some people in our country who are prepared to implement change in other ways. And
so
that's
you're
really
questioning
dangerous.
Really if democracy can survive unregulated social media.
I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges that we are facing. And to me, that is part of what this race, this election is all about. Will we break the fever in the United States?
Kerry wasn't alone this week. Bill Gates of the Microsoft fame backed him up. According to him, it's time for a world censorship system built around AI.
We should have free speech, but if you're inciting violence, if you're causing people not to take vaccines, you know, where are those boundaries that even the U.S. should, you know, have rules? And then if you have rules, you know, what is it? Is there some AI that encodes those rules? Because you have billions of activity and, you know, if you catch it a day later, the harm is done.
He's literally saying this should be like pre-crime in the Matrix. The system catches you before your post is allowed to hit the internet and stops you. Insane thing number four. After CBS promised that the moderators would not fact check the candidates at the vice presidential debate, they did anyway. Our side completely misunderstood why the two moderators piled on J.D. Vance, thinking they were trying to help Walz, trying to defeat Vance and Trump. No, that's not why they panicked. That's not why they jumped on J.D. Vance. They jumped on him because he said a word that's like kryptonite, or could be, to Kamala Harris, CPB1 app. Listen to them jump all over him when he says it. It's as if they're trying to talk over him. They're in a panic. Why? Because their sheeple, their voters, the Democrats, have no idea that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have flown nearly a million illegal immigrants into the country using that app or allowed those immigrants to pass through the port of entry, even though they are illegal immigrants. And the app, basically you use it to make an appointment with the federal government to break the law. It's completely illegal what they're doing. You fill out a 5-page form on the app. It doesn't matter who the hell you are because you don't have to present any kind of ID. You can upload your picture or someone else's or app not to upload a picture. They don't give a damn. And then guess what? Voila, you enter the country. They can't have their sheeple knowing that. And the women moderating panicked. Listen to it.
Just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
because we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank you.
Margaret, the rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years.
That is the facilitation
of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
For describing the legal process.
Laws,
we have
Kamala
so much
Harris
to get to,
that
Senator.
Pathway.
Those laws have been on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP one app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to.
Notice they don't panic and start talking over him until he mentions the CPB1 app. The liberal moderators did their best to hide it, to censor it, but it was too late. And people on TikTok started checking it out and realizing that if you just fill out 5 screens worth of information, you can come into the country and the Department of Homeland Security will just come pick you up and take you wherever you want.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the end of the week, this had gone viral on TikTok, racking up millions of views. It was a guy who wanted to know if he just made up an identity, if Customs and Border Patrol would pick him up like he was an illegal immigrant. He posted this and it went viral.
After watching that vice presidential debate last night, I was curious just how easy that CBP One app was to use. So I downloaded it.
So once you create an account from the main page, you just have to choose if you're the smuggler or the smugglee. Then you just got to fill in basic info, first name, last name, you know, all the basics. I don't know my gender yet. I'm still figuring that out. Now it's time to take a selfie, and a passport or any identification is also optional.
Then it asks you which state you're headed to. I said I didn't know the address. I didn't know the city. I just chose California, and then I added the first zip code that Google gave me for California. And that's it. I'm good to go. It does let you choose between like 8 different bridges to meet under. I chose the Eagle Pass Bridge to meet under. I just have to wait until noon, so a couple more hours, to actually make my appointment.
That'd be an appointment to be let into the country. An appointment to break the law. Jointly with the federal government, and most specifically the agency within the federal government whose job it is to repel illegal immigrants. But he went a step further just to see how ridiculous he could make it, to see if the government would actually take his application. Instead of posting his own photo, which is not required, it's optional, he posted a photo of a comedian called Carlos Mencia, who actually is an American.
Now I know what you're saying. That's not you. That's Carlos Mencia. Correct. I was just trying to show you how easy it was to register. I'm just a white dude from Michigan. This took me 5 minutes. Someone who really wants to get into this country, get temporary asylum with open-ended expiration dates, they'll just use their own picture. I said I have no documentation, I have no ID, no passport, no license. There is no way to cross-check who I say I am with who I really am.
It didn't ultimately matter. They took him anyway. So that pretty much answers the riddle from past podcasts where we've wondered why terrorists turn themselves into Homeland Security rather than simply evading them. Of course, the problem with this system, as I've pointed out on other Battleground America podcasts, is that it then spits out a QR code, which you can use to either enter through the port of entry and which you can use to fly as well. And then they put you right on the plane. And we said, you know, I bet you terrorists are getting on these planes. Well, guess what just came out from the Department of Homeland Security? An Inspector General's report. An Inspector General is ensconced inside a lot of these agencies, supposed to be a watchdog, supposed to be independent. The report said that Customs and Border Patrol, ICE, and the TSA, you know, the airport screening people, are not fully assessing the risks associated with releasing non-citizens without ID into the U.S. and allowing them to travel on domestic flights. Well, like, with Americans? Yeah. We've pointed this out before using the testimony of Congress members who were worried about this, but this clinches it. It confirms that this is going on. Bill Malusian with Fox News wrote the story. Because the app doesn't actually run people's fingerprints or really have a way of verifying that the person who's inputting the information is who they say they are, the TSA can't ensure its vetting and screening procedures would prevent high-risk non-citizens from getting on flights. Oh, and there's this other problem. They're breaking the law. Not that that should surprise you. With Democrats, they break so many laws. I lose track, honestly, of all the law breaking. But the Inspector General's report said that according to federal law, non-citizens without ID are not admissible into the country and shall be detained. So not only are they taking them without ID in violation of federal law, they're putting them on planes without ID. Now, if your blood is boiling over all those hours of your life you wasted in that TSA line, arriving hours before your flight to make sure you had enough time to get on it, consider what else recently happened. Remember from last week, I briefly touched on it. The TSA said definitively for the first time that to fly in America, you're going to have to prove your citizenship. Over 20 years ago, the 9/11 Commission, who were trying to figure out how to prevent another 9/11, recommended that all Americans have real ID, secure ID, in which they'd prove their citizenship and their license, driver's license, reflected that. Then only then could they use the driver's license to get on an airplane. So you had to have a real ID. Well, that's been put off for years and years and years. The Biden administration last week announced, the TSA did, that they're implementing it. You've got to have a real ID by May 7th to fly, or they'll turn you away, unless you're an illegal immigrant. Hell, I don't know. Maybe you could just sit there in the airport parking lot, fill out the CPB1. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so you got to have a real ID to fly. In other words, you have to prove you're a citizen to fly, which is really weird because the Democrats keep telling us that if you have to prove you're a citizen to vote, that's super racist. But the bottom line here is that as they're clamping down on citizens and make us show our citizenship papers for the privilege of flying, they're lifting all restrictions on illegal immigrants, some of whom may be terrorists, and loading them on the same planes with us, which makes everything they're doing here total security theater. They cannot possibly give a damn if we are citizens when we fly, or even if we've been background checked when we fly, if they're letting these people onto the plane. So why are they doing it? My theory is that they're getting us used to presenting our documents, our papers, at internal checkpoints inside the country. Kind of like asking the government, or the first step in asking the government for permission of movement, permission of travel. It has actually nothing to do with safety. As you could clearly see, they don't give a damn about safety. I think that's what this is. Here's why. Remember back during the height of COVID, NBC News actually reported, leaked inside the Biden administration, they were considering forcing people to get an ID, a digital ID that they would have to present when crossing state lines, ostensibly to prevent the spread of COVID. They failed at that. They wanted it, but they failed at it. It shows you where they were going. I think this is a last gasp effort at getting at least something like that, but not for the illegals, of course, or the terrorists. Insane thing number three. If you're going to let people who just got here and might be terrorists get on a plane and fly with no ID, well, hell, you might as well let them vote. And they are in huge numbers in Arizona. In fact, this could be the first presidential election determined by illegal immigrant and non-citizen voting in American history. And that'll really be quite something given that every one of those votes will have been illegal, but counted anyway. This is truly outrageous. Folks, if you watch politics at all, you know that Arizona is one of the top five key swing states. Some would say even the top three key swing states. If she wins it, this will truly will be the first time illegal immigrants determine the outcome of the presidency. Brief background history. Years ago, the Arizona legislature, when it was controlled by Republicans, passed a law saying you couldn't vote in Arizona unless you prove your citizenship. Well, they're in a very liberal federal circuit, like court system, and so the left sued. liberal judges ended up ruling they could keep their law, but they had to create a separate system, a whole separate registration system for people who did not have proof of citizenship. So in Arizona, if you want to vote in local and national races, you got to prove your citizenship. But if you only want to vote in national races, you don't have to. You go on your own special list if you don't have proof of citizenship. Well, that case went up to the Supreme Court, and the court ruled that they have to stop registering people, that it might be illegal. But they also said that everyone who's already registered can vote in this specific election. They didn't want anyone disenfranchised. Never mind, we had months at the time to deal with this. Okay, then they discovered that, oopsie, there'd been some errors in registering people to vote in Arizona. Specifically, 98,000 of them who didn't have citizenship documents were registered to vote at both the state and local level. So this is a separate list. Well, it broke this week that the number wasn't actually 98,000. It's more like 218,000. So who would this be? Illegal immigrants and non-citizens, people who came here on a visa. So they cannot legally vote in a federal election. That's a crime. They also can't legally register. That's another crime. Yeah, you heard that right. The Supreme Court actually ruled that people who committed a crime by registering can vote. The rule of law is crumbling. It's falling apart in this country. It really is. So anyway, the Supreme Court is going to adjudicate that after Kamala Harris steals the election via Arizona, I guess, and just not care about it. But the bigger deal is that this number has now ballooned to 218,000. Now, I believe they did this on purpose. The whole registration system has been largely ruled by Democrats for a whole lot of years. But you should know something. Back in 2020, a whopping 36,000 non-citizens voted in that presidential race. Take a guess how much Joe Biden won Arizona by. Just 10,457 votes. What's so nuts is these voters could literally determine the outcome of this election, and then every one of them could be prosecuted for voting because it's a felony. Again, it's the kind of lawlessness that our forefathers couldn't have even dreamed of. Heck, we couldn't have dreamed of a generation ago. Of course, the irony of all that this week was a many hours long tape that was released from the Washington Post. I was very surprised by this. And on it is the governor of Arizona, a Democrat, Secretary of State of Arizona, another Democrat, and several other Democrat officials publicly worrying that this would confirm the conspiracy theory by the right that illegal immigrant voting is a big deal because there's so many illegal immigrants registered in Arizona and they can vote. Yeah. Anyway, they actually discussed it on the recording. Fearing that this would be used by the right wing to confirm their conspiracy. In other words, the truth. Yeah. What does this mean? Democrats know illegals, they hope, will be the tiebreakers here, will determine the outcome of this election. And they're just afraid people will say true things without the FBI inside X to censor them. That's all that means. Anyway, folks, Trump's going to need a landslide. The good news is earlier this week, beginning of the week, CNN reporting, Trump is posting the best numbers he's ever posted. He's gonna need it. Want to pause here to thank my friends at PhD Weight Loss for all the information, everything that they have taught me. Yeah, I'm really grateful for the 29 pounds I've lost in the 21 months that I've kept it off, but they've taught me so much about why I couldn't lose weight in the first place. The first thing I learned about was visceral fat. Did you know the visceral fat on your body makes its own hormones? And those hormones can make you artificially hungry, more hungry than you normally would be. They can also slow down your metabolism. That's why it's so important to get most of that visceral fat off your body. That's why at PhD Weight Loss, they don't even set the actual goal weight real definitively until the end, because they've got a special scale that measures the visceral fat. I've got that scale now in my bathroom because I like to keep track of my fat and visceral fat too. And let me tell you what, when the visceral fat's gone, look, life's never perfect, but I swear it is so much easier to resist the cravings. I feel more full, I eat less, and it's not as hard as it used to be. To find out more about losing weight with myphdweightloss.com, go to myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Tara sent you. You can do it from any place in the nation, myphdweightloss.com. Now back to the podcast. Insane thing number two. With Iran trying to kill Donald Trump. That's what he was briefed on last week by the Biden administration. And no less than 5 assassination teams stalking him, Donald J. Trump is going back to Butler. Let's remember what he's up against. Nobody in the mainstream media has refuted that 5 assassination teams are currently stalking Donald J. Trump. They're blacking it out. Remember what I've told you? That's always the classic tell. First, they black out damaging things. Then they fact check them and say they're fake. And then eventually admit that, okay, they are true, but try to convince you they're no big deal. The fact that Matt Gaetz reported this and it was ignored tells you it's absolutely true. That a high-ranking member of the Department of Homeland Security came to him to warn him. Well, I'll let Matt explain. He's a Congress member from Florida.
I'll break a little news for you. I had a senior official from the Department of Homeland Security in my office before the second assassination attempt saying that what he has assessed is that there are 5 known assassination teams in the United States, 3 inspired by other governments, 2 that are here that are known domestic assassination teams. And with that, this individual was coming to me concerned that the force protection around President Trump, even prior to that second assassination attempt, was not sufficient for what it needed to be. And the coordination at that level, at the dignitary protection level, is like the bare minimum that we have to do to keep our presidents, our presidential candidates safe while they're on the trail.
So there are 5, I just want to follow up, 5 assassination teams. Are they all targeting Trump? Is it other officials?
Yes. No, wow. I should have been clear about that. 5 teams that we know are targeting Trump. And so that raises real questions about why certain teams were being pulled off of the Trump deal detail and put on, for example, the Jill Biden detail.
Do you see any arrests since Matt Gaetz reported that 2 weeks ago? No, you did not. They're still out there. Folks, it is not an exaggeration to say, should something bad happen at the Butler rally, the Republic, as we know it, as it's been since its founding, could be done. Let me tell you why. This really scares me because J.D. Vance is going to be there. And I've advised for a long time, please, God, if I was a campaign manager, I would beg Trump never to be on the same plane as Vance ever and never to be in the same place as Vance ever, at least not till after they are inaugurated. What terrifies me even more is Elon Musk, who himself has admitted he's been the target of multiple assassination attempts. One of them, by the way, you know the Ukrainian government has a bounty on Elon Musk's head for assassination, right? They don't like that he allows free speech on X and that some of it has criticized their government, okay? And that's just one government. You put Elon Musk is going to be a special guest. You put him there? Folks, if Elon Musk died, the First Amendment would die with him. A light would go out in the world. You know what this does? I don't mean it as criticism. I think Trump is a total hero, but this rings the dinner bell. Every left-wing deep state assassin wannabe, this rings the dinner bell. And you cannot trust the Secret Service to keep you safe. You can't. And he's going to do it anyway. Look, more power to him, but I'm going to feel a lot better when it's like Sunday night and I know everybody is safe and they've gone off in their own ways. Folks, if something happens to Elon Musk, this makes this so tempting. If something happens to Elon Musk, I'm not kidding you. First Amendment's done. It's gone. Light goes out in the world. Your free speech is over. It's not coming back. There's never going to be a fair campaign again. There won't be a campaign where the bureaucrats in the EU don't have veto power over your account and what you say as a candidate right here in the United States of America. It's terrifying. You will almost immediately see a worldwide censorship regime fall down on our heads. And that's just if Musk gets hurt. Look, I hope that Trump isn't still trusting Secret Service to protect him. I pray to God he's not. Look, it sounds like the staff, the Secret Service staffers who've been up close to him, his body team, seem trustworthy. But folks, the ones who have to secure the perimeter to make sure all of them and Trump aren't sitting ducks, I don't trust them one iota. And I don't trust the deputy director. And it scares me to death that those 5 assassination teams are out there. I just hope his plan is not to rely on the Secret Service for protection. I have a feeling it might be. So we'll see. Insane thing number 1. Finally, insane thing number one broke on Friday morning when I was recording this.
A bombshell report from the House finds 1.7 million illegal migrants posing a national security threat have been encountered at the border since the Biden-Harris administration took over. Griff Jenkins in D.C., that sounds like a big number. What's that about?
It is a big number. It's from the House Judiciary Committee. The report warns that the terror threat is growing under this administration. Take a look at the numbers. The committee says CBP has encountered more than 1.7 million special interest aliens from 26 different countries, including Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and Syria, all ties to significant terrorism. Now, in the report, they highlighted, Bill, the case of Afghan national Mohammed Karwan, twice released by this administration, despite being a match to the terror watch list. Now, this comes after DHS inspector says CBP, ICE, and TSA have been releasing migrants into the country without IDs and letting them board planes to fly domestically. Former President Trump weighed in on that yesterday.
Well, you don't have to know too much to know there's a risk. There's a risk with that like nobody's ever seen before. They have no idea who these people are, where they come from, where they're going. They just release them in. There's no country in the world that would allow this to happen.
Wonder how many members of those five assassination teams currently stalking Trump that I just told you about came over that border illegally and are terrorists. Whatever the case, I firmly believe this. We have a large, large number of terrorists operating on our soil, and we're going to begin to see domestic terror attacks like we've never seen before. But I believe it will not happen until after the election. Why? Because they're all going to want to ensure that Her Highness gets elected so they can continue to operate with impunity. Heck, even turn themselves over to the Border Patrol and get all the free goodies as they set up in the United States and ready their attacks. That won't happen if Donald Trump is elected. And if a terror attack goes down, a catastrophic one, on Biden's watch, on Kamala's watch, it could tip the election. The terrorists are not going to risk that. They're not stupid. They'll wait till after the election. And then I believe Keaty bar the door. I think that's why it's been so quiet. And I think the FBI knows it. I think they know what's here. And that is why Christopher Wray, at least a few times a month now, head of the FBI, warns us catastrophic attacks are coming. Not just attacks that will kill large numbers of people, but attacks that will be coordinated to take down our infrastructure. I just think it won't happen until after the election. If you were a terrorist, would you attack now or would you wait until Her Highness was safely reelected? You know what you'd do. I know what they do. They know what they're going to do. Folks, no matter what happens in November, we're about to head headlong into times this country has never seen before.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.